Pastor. Bless you, kids. Awesome. Just love that ministry. And Pastor Prince has preached at our church a number of times, and he'll be back at some stage as well. We love their ministry. Okay. Now, if you want to take out your Bibles today, we're going to walk through a couple of scriptures. Acts 4, verse 13 is going to be our first verse we're going to look at today. And I encourage people, whenever you hear a sermon at New Hope, take a photo of the Bible verses and the quotes and the dad jokes on the screen and make sure that you memorize them, you learn them, you get to know them, because otherwise you'll forget what's said in the sermon. We're starting a series today called Imperfect Disciples. Is there any imperfect disciples here today? I am one of them. We're all falling short of the glory of God, hey? We all need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to take notes as we get into this. And just before we start as well, I did mention about Jesus Revolution movie, not this Monday night, but the one after. And it'd be good to just get a quick show of hands. Who's planning to come on that Monday night? Just put your hand up. Okay, good. That's good. All right. And who's going to invite a friend as well? Yep, invite some friends, because I actually really want unchurched people to come as well. So bring a friend. It's going to be a great, because it's a really cool movie. There's actually really cool music in the movie from the 60s and 70s too. So it's 10 out of 10. Carol and I gave it 10 out of 10. So 7 p.m. and finishes at 9 p.m. Yeah. Yep. So the movie goes for about an hour and a half or something. Yeah. So, okay. So let's pray. Father God, as we open your word today, we pray that you'll speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll give us revelation about what it means to be a disciple, a lifelong learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be a church that's a disciple-making church, a church who makes disciples, who will then make other disciples, who will then make other disciples. Help us to be a church-planting church. Lord God, we pray that you'll open doors for us to plant churches around this city, around this nation, and around the world. We pray, God, that we will be a sending church, just like the Murrays were sent to India for their trip. We pray we can send more people in missions, more and more disciples going out sharing the good news, just like you sent out your disciples. Teach us what it means to be good disciples, good followers of you, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. So we're going to be looking at this series, Imperfect Disciples, about what it means to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much we can learn from the life of the disciples. In Acts, Peter and John had just healed a lame man and he preached the gospel boldly. It says in Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. How many of you know we're all imperfect? We're all ordinary, unschooled men, just like those disciples. But God wants to use us to reach the world. My wife and I heard a preacher years ago named John Burt from the US. And he had a slogan for his church, no perfect people allowed. I think we should have that on our door, hey? No perfect people allowed, because none of us are perfect. Only Jesus was perfect, amen? I love that title. We're going to have a look at another passage today, and I'm going to get you to stand for this verse today. This is a bit of a longer verse, and I want you to read out this verse. Stand to our feet. We're going to read the Word of God together. Let's honor the Word of God. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he'll reward each person according to what they have done. You may be seated. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, yesterday Carol and I caught up with Pastor Krista, who is a Korean pastor that used to be in our church, and she preached to us. Every time we see her, she just preaches. And she started preaching this verse to me yesterday. And I said, you know, that's my sermon tomorrow. That's my first verse in my sermon tomorrow. And she actually gave us this painting over here. She felt the Holy Spirit tell her to paint about the burning bush that Moses saw. And she gave it to us as a gift. And she said, I just believe that you're going to see the fire of God in your church. Amen? Hallelujah. And she started saying, you know, a lot of people preach that Jesus died for you, but they don't preach that you need to die for Jesus. And I thought, that's a good line right there. I'm using that in my sermon. I said, is that copyright? I'm using that. Because this is what Jesus told us, didn't he? If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross. What does it mean to take up your cross? Who's seen the Passion of the Christ? You know what Jesus went through on the cross. We need to deny ourselves, take ourselves off the throne of our heart, give Jesus the steering wheel, let him lead us in the divine dance. We need to pray, Lord, less of me and more of you. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus. If you want to save your life, you've got to lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good is it to gain the whole world but yet forfeit your soul? What can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And if you know, the Son of Man is coming back soon. And he's going to give a reward for each person according to what they've done. And I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear the words, away from me, you wicked and lazy servant, I never knew you. I don't want to hear those words. And the cross is vertical first, horizontal second. Vertical first because our relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. And it's vertical second because we reach out to others. When we're a true disciple of Jesus, we share his gospel. We share the good news. We care for the poor. We reach out with the love of Jesus. But it's vertical first and horizontal second. Some people have got it the other way around. They think, oh, it's about my good works. That's how I'm going to get to heaven. No, you can't be saved by good works, can you? You can only be saved by grace and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus to be a true disciple. Now, on Wednesday night, we had Steve Beazle come to our service. Steve used to preach in our church a bit. He's a great man of God. He's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And we stood here and prayed for his healing in front of the service on Wednesday night. And we're believing for his healing. Amen? He's a great man of God. And I was inspired this week to contact him and say, mate, last time you preached at our church, you read out this thing about what it means to be a soldier in the army of God. And I said, did you write it? And he goes, no, someone else wrote it, but he sent it to me. And I said, thank you for this. I want our church to declare this together. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet again, and you'll see this up on the screens, and we're going to read this out together. This is awesome. I believe if you're a true disciple of Jesus, this is your declaration. Let's read this together. I am a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. He can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me or lure me. I'm a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising and glorifying his name, and building his kingdom. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out even. I will win. My God shall supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. And weather cannot weary me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell can't handle me. I am a soldier. And I'm going to fight even if no one else notices. Hell will notice. My enemy will notice. Fight on, you soldier of the cross. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'll post that up on our Facebook later if you want to get the whole text. But I believe in declarations, amen? I believe when we speak, the Lord hears our words. When we speak, atmospheres can change. And I believe in daily declarations. Every day when I get up and I pray, I dress myself in the armor of God. I thank you, Lord, for the helmet of salvation. Breastplate, I go through the armor in Ephesians 6 and I declare that I'm dressed in that armor and I'm on the front foot whenever the enemy comes, amen? We've got to get the power of daily declarations. And I believe disciples do daily declarations. That's a lot of alliteration, isn't it? Disciples do daily declarations. Dude. We've got to make sure that we are dressed in the armor every day. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian in Germany when the Nazis were in the middle of taking over that nation and deceiving people. And he stood up for righteousness and was martyred for his faith in the end. And he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. How many of you know, when the Nazi leaders were deceiving everyone, it would have been a big price to stand up for righteousness. Where are the Dietrich Bonhoeffers of 2023 who are willing to stand up no matter what the world is doing? Amen? We need to realize there is a cost to discipleship. We need to die to ourselves and live for the cause of the gospel. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave up himself for me. Friends, that's what a disciple is. Someone who's died to themselves. One author said this, as the soldier follows his general, as the servant follows his master, as the scholar follows his teacher, as the sheep follows its shepherd, just so ought the professing Christian to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. The term disciple represents the Greek word mathetes. Everyone say mathetes. In general terms, means one who engages in learning or instruction from another, a pupil. It's like builders have apprentices or painters have apprentices. Sean in his electrician company will have an apprentice that he trains up. A disciple is an apprentice who is trained up. And in the religious context of the Bible, we are associated with someone who we follow their particular set of views. The word disciple comes into the English usage, by the way, of the Latin word discipulus, which means a learner. They say that, you know, Jesus was a rabbi. He called his disciples. You know, we're going to talk through that in this series. And they say that a disciple eats the dust of their rabbi. Because in the Middle Eastern time, you know, roads that were full of dust. And you would just follow your disciple, follow your rabbi everywhere. Even if he went to the bathroom, you'd wait outside for him until he's finished. And then when he comes out, you'd follow him. And then he'd go and eat somewhere and you'd follow, you know, you'd follow your rabbi and you'd learn his ways. Just like the divine dance that I talked about earlier. We've got to learn to follow his lead in our life. And we can't see Jesus today unless the Lord opens our eyes and gives us a supernatural vision. But we have the Holy Spirit who leads us to follow Jesus. Amen? So we need to be Spirit-filled people following our rabbi, Jesus. Just like Moses in the Old Testament trained up Joshua. We need a Joshua generation today, amen? Moses discipled Joshua. Moses mentored Joshua. Just like Elijah passed his mantle to Elisha. Just like Paul trained up Timothy. Just like Jesus trained up his disciples. Jesus is wanting us to be his disciples, to follow him. He wants to raise us up. The same things Jesus did, we are meant to do. Amen? We are meant to be followers of Jesus. I might just invite Johnny Mauser to come up for a moment. And where's Luke Wilson? Luke as well. Yeah, come over here, Luke, for a moment. Luke Wilson, come on, mate, over here. Let's get your boys to stand over here. You know, it's amazing the influence of those disciples all those years ago. I'll get you to stand over here, actually, yeah. So is there anybody called Mark here today, by the way? Is there any Marks? No Marks? Oh, what a pity. We were going to have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Isn't it interesting that here we are in 2023, a couple of thousand years after Jesus' time, and Matthew, by the way, means gift from God, and prater means to talk a lot, so that's me. Luke, one of the disciples, John, one of the disciples, the one that John was the one that Jesus loved. He actually said that in his own book. And he had the book of Revelation. Oh, I love John. Great, you know. Luke was good. Luke was a doctor, wasn't he, you know? Well, you know that there was 12 disciples, you know, who followed Jesus. And then there was 72. Then there was like 120. Then there was like 500, you know. There were many disciples. But here we are 2,000 years later. And the names of those disciples are still some of the most popular names around the world. Because Jesus spent 3 years training his 12 disciples. And they were a ragtag bunch like these two, just quietly. Ordinary, unschooled men, fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, painters, yeah, whatever they, you know. They didn't go to rabbi school. They weren't the sharpest tools in the shed, just quietly, you know. Just like me, they were just ordinary blokes. But Jesus said, come and follow me. He said to Peter, leave your nets and come and follow me because I will make you fishers of men. So, and you know, disciples are fishers of men. Disciples go and share. They represent Jesus. They're ambassadors of Jesus. Interesting that, you know, has anybody else got a biblical name here today? Who else has got a biblical name? Yeah, Rachel's a biblical name. Grace, amazing Grace. Yeah, biblical name. We've got Matthew, of course, yeah, biblical names. Yeah, Joseph, yep, another biblical name. James, the lesser, and James the greater. There was two James, wasn't there? There's lots of... Is Bronwyn a biblical name? Your middle name's Mary. Oh, beautiful. Quite contrary. Beautiful, yeah. Yeah. Joshua, good biblical name. Carol, like Christmas carols, yeah. Lots of... Chris, like Christmas, yep. Adam. Christopher, yeah, yep. Aaron, yep. Adam, yep, yep. Isn't it amazing that the disciples and the biblical names are still in society today? And I just think those 12 men, in particular, let's just focus on the 12 men, those names, those 12 men, they changed the world, didn't they? And they're still talked about today. How many of you know, imagine what we could do, you know, with a couple of hundred of us in this church. You guys can have a seat. Thanks, guys. I'm getting carried away here, you know. I just think, unfortunately, some people don't really understand the meanings of biblical names. It's like someone came up to me once and said, oh, I named my kids after some Bible characters. Oh, yeah, this is Jezebel and that's Goliath. I'm like, it's a joke. I'm not joking. I didn't. Actually, my brother was dating a girl named Jezebel once. I just can't believe it. Who would you name me? Anyway, we're not going to go there. God bless them. Actually, when I was a teenager, I was always looking for a girl named Joy. Because the Bible said you shall go out with joy. And I could never find her. Anyway, I should move on, shouldn't I? Yeah, yeah. There was a girl named Joy in our church, wasn't she? She used to come to our Sunday night service. And then she started coming in the morning because the Bible says joy comes in the morning. So, yeah. Jewish culture made it customary for a child to begin his religious training at the age of 5 and continue to the age of 12. If a boy was intelligent and interested in continuing his religious studies, he would seek a rabbi to disciple him and would follow the pattern of his life of the rabbi until the age of 30. At that time, he would take on disciples of his own. So this is the way discipleship's meant to work. You become a disciple of Jesus, and then you go and find other people to make disciples. Just this week, we launched a new gathering. We invited 20 people from the church, just as a bit of a trial. We just picked 20. If you didn't get picked, don't worry. It wasn't anything personal. We just picked 20 that we saw could end up being pastors or leaders or evangelists or missionaries. We just picked 20 people. We just asked the Holy Spirit to show us 20, and we invited them on Wednesday night, and there was four or five of us leaders there, Brett, Carol, Rachel, Chris, and myself. We just sat there, and we just said to them, this 20, we want to disciple you to the next level. We see the fire of God on you. We see the call of God on you, and we want to see you raised up to the next level. And thankfully, most of them were young adults too. And when you think of it, you know the disciples, they were definitely all under 30. Well, we're pretty sure they're all under 30. Some of them were teenagers. Some theologians believe John might have been 16 or 17, that he was probably the youngest, but we don't really know. You can search it up, and you know. But imagine those young teenage boys following Jesus and then going, preaching the gospel around the world. 11 of the 12 were martyred for their faith, according to history. John was the only one that died of natural causes. They died for the gospel. They literally laid down their life for the gospel. What price are we willing to pay to be disciples? You see, we are called to be disciples who then make disciples, And one of the structures of our church is Connect Groups. Pastor Chris oversees that area. And we've got Connect Groups, Friday nights, Tuesday nights, you know, different ones. We have one after the service every Sunday. Every Wednesday, we have one before the Wednesday night service. We've got different ones all over the city, one up at Burpengary. There's different ones all over the city. And the idea is that someone leads that group and disciples the people in that group. You see, one of the biggest criticisms we get as a church, people say, oh, it's great that all these people are coming to Christ, but who's discipling them? And I'm like, well, we all are. It's not just up to me. It's not just up to the staff and the leaders. We're all called to be multiplying disciples, amen? We're all called to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. The same way Jesus called his 12 disciples, we are meant to be discipled and then to disciple others. It was a pattern consistent with the followers of Jesus, and throughout the book of Acts, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the spiritual mothers and fathers would raise up spiritual sons and daughters. That's what a healthy church does when we're all raising up and training up the next generation. Now, it doesn't just mean you have to disciple young people. It could be someone who's older, or they could be just new in the faith. What it means is mature believers are meant to disciple the new believers. We're all called to make disciples. John 8:31 says this, so Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. Now, that's the Amplified Version. Sorry if it was a bit loud, but I love the Amplified Version because it unpacks the scriptures a little bit deeper. We've got to continually obey the teachings of Jesus. Now, we believe that you need a physical leader to physically disciple you, but I'm here to tell you, spiritually, you need to be discipled by Jesus most of all. You need to be a self-feeder of the Word. That's why we're always telling people to do their daily devotions, be in the Word of God. We've got a Bible reading plan at our website. We'd love for you to follow if you want to search it up. We need to learn to self-disciple as well as be discipled. For me personally, I've got Pastor Wayne Cadero, who's my apostolic oversight. We visited him recently. He's my rabbi, the one that I follow. I love his teachings. I love his stuff. He's the one that I, but he lives in Eugene, Oregon, so I don't get to see him regularly, but he's my long distance. He disciples me. And then I have Tim Hanna, who used to lead Compassion Australia and Gateway Baptist. He mentors me. I meet with him every couple of months, and he mentors me, and I'm accountable to him. Then I've got two other brothers who are pastors of churches similar age to me. We meet together, and we're like Barnabases to each other. We encourage each other. You see, everyone needs a Paul who's above them. They need a Barnabas who's alongside them, and they need a Timothy that they're raising up. And there's many Timothys in this church and Esthers and, you know, whatever female name you want to pick out of the Bible. There's many young men and women in this church that I'm trying to raise up and disciple and send out. And that's the way that the church should be operating. We need someone above us, someone alongside us, and someone underneath us. Now, some of you may say, no one's discipling me. Go and ask someone. Ask someone to disciple you. Pastor Wayne Cadero teaches on this. He says, the disciple and the protege, it's actually up to the protege to ask to be discipled. You've got to chase your teacher to get taught from them. Ask someone to disciple you and sit under someone's teaching. Be discipled and then make disciples. In Christianity, being a disciple primarily refers to a dedicated follower of Jesus. The term is found in the New Testament only, in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. In the ancient world, you are a follower of a teacher. A disciple in ancient biblical worldview actively imitated both the life and the teaching of the master, like an apprentice. You know, my son Josh here loves Star Wars. And we were just talking this morning about how one day we went into a video shop. Who knows what videos are? Yeah, VHS, a long time ago. And he had a choice of either Toy Story or Star Wars. And he said, "What's Star Wars, Dad?" And I said, "Let's get that video, I'll show you." Because I grew up watching Star Wars. My older brother was really into Star Wars and I loved it growing up, you know. So we watched a VHS of Star Wars together and it's like, poof, this whole new world opened up to him, you know. And so I've trained him in the ways of Star Wars for many years. He's my young Padawan. But now he knows a lot more about Star Wars than I do. He is an expert. You ask him anything about Star Wars, he is an expert. And really that should be the heart of a disciple, of a rabbi training up a disciple. You want them to surpass you one day. You want them to be 10 times better than you are. You want to train them up and raise them up and send them out to share the ways of the Holy Spirit force, not the Star Wars force, you know. And, you know, Josh and I love, there's a scene in Star Wars where there's Luke Skywalker, he's the Jedi, and he's not very good at being a Jedi. And he gets trained by Master Yoda. And Master Yoda teaches Luke the ways of the Force, teaches him how to use his lightsaber and trains him. And there's a famous scene where he's on his backpack and Yoda's teaching him how to do all these things. And Master Yoda taught Luke things like, love the world so God did, that his only son he gave. If believe in him you do, live forever you will, perish you shall not. You like that? Yeah. That was John 3:16 in Yoda style, yeah. So, Josh, they didn't laugh as much as I thought they would. Yeah. Yeah, anyway. But there's a famous saying in one of the Star Wars shows that we watch where the Mandalorian, he says, this is the way. And I'm here to tell you, when you are following Jesus as your master, you follow his way. You learn his ways. You learn his words. You follow, you do his works. Amen? A master knows the text. That's why we've got to memorize God's word. You've got to know the teachings of Jesus. You've got to memorize the word of God. You know, young Hebrew boys would learn the Torah by the age of, is it 5 or 12? I can't remember. But anyway, 12, is it? Yeah. By the age of 12, they'd learn the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, they'd memorize all of it as a young boy. And there's a famine of the Word of God in our churches these days. We need to memorize the text of our Master. We need to know God's Word. In Acts 6, verse 7, it says, and the Word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. There is a need for multiplying disciples. Got a quote here from Leroy Imes. This is a book, when I was at Bible college at the age of 19, 20, this is a book that we had to read, The Lost Art of Disciple Making. It said he knew that unless he trained some spiritually qualified workers among the men and women of his congregation, many would not get the needed help in the initial stages of Christian growth or the adequate follow-up and would not develop into strong, robust disciples of Jesus Christ. And the pastor knew the key to, he knew he was the key to this. The whole process had to begin with him. As the spiritual leader of these people, he had to lead the way. And that's one of the reasons why I feel God's put in my heart to teach this series about imperfect disciples, to train and equip our church to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We want to multiply in our discipleship. Now, we're almost out of time, and I just want to wrap it up with one more verse today, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11 to 17. And one of the reasons I want to share this verse is because, you see, most of the letters of the New Testament, there's so many keys in there. Well, all the letters of the New Testament, there's keys in there to being a good disciple. You've got to realize that the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the letters in the New Testament, he was writing to churches full of imperfect disciples like you and me. He was writing letters to correct them. How do you know? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? So when Paul writes in the New Testament, he's discipling the people in those churches. So I want to read this to you in that context. The Apostle Paul says this, to this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. We are cursed. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. Then Paul says this, I am writing this, not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians of Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I've sent you Timothy, the son, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Two things out of that I want to share. Number one, the Apostle Paul says this, I urge you to imitate me. So I'm urging you today, imitate Jesus, imitate the Apostle Paul and Peter and the disciples and the letters we read from the Scriptures. Imitate the leaders in this church who I believe God has raised up a godly bunch of leaders in our church. Imitate the leaders in this church. Honor the leaders of this church. Pray for the leaders of this church. Eat the dust of the leaders in this church. Follow the leaders of this church as they go. You see, one thing someone said to me a while back, they said, the reason I love New Hope is because the pastors actually do the stuff that Jesus did. We don't just sit in our ivory towers and preach from our pulpits and then go home and do nothing all week. We actually go into the shared homes around the city and share the gospel. We go to the nations and share the gospel. We raise up and send out missionaries and leaders around the world. We actually do the stuff we're meant to do. When we don't need leaders that just talk the talk. We've got to have leaders that walk the walk. So follow the leaders in this church. Honor the leaders of this church. Imitate the leaders of this church. Be discipled by the leaders in this church. And then the last one, this is a challenge to you. For this reason, I've sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He'll remind you of my way of life in Jesus Christ, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in my church. Could I say that of you? If I sent you to a church in the Sunshine Coast to represent New Hope and the ministry that we have here, could I say, I'm going to send Grace, the daughter who I love. I'm going to send her. She's faithful in the Lord. She's going to remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus. I'm going to send Bronwyn, da-da-da-da. I'm going to send Glenn, da-da-da. Are you a faithful Timothy? I believe God is raising up a generation who have the DNA of Jesus, who have the heart of the gospel, the heart to make disciples. Will you be found faithful to follow the teachings of Jesus? That's my heart for every one of us in this church, that we become disciples who make disciples, who make disciples. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every single person here today, every single person hearing my voice. Father, as we launch this series, Imperfect Disciples, we pray you'll give us a revelation of what it is to become a disciple who makes disciples, who makes disciples. May we be like Timothy and be faithful to your teaching. May we be honorable. May we imitate you, Lord Jesus. Imitate our leaders and honor our leaders as we take the gospel around the highways and the byways of this city, around this nation, and around the world. Raise up faithful disciples in this church. And just with every eye closed and every head bowed as we prepare to close the service, maybe today you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never surrendered to Him. And you want to say, yes, I'm ready to start following Jesus. That verse that we shared before says, if any man is in Christ, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross and follow Jesus. Maybe you're in a place where you know you've been living for yourself and you want to repent, you want to change your ways and you want to start living for Jesus. When I was 15, I prayed a simple prayer inviting Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And then I was discipled in my church by many people over the years. I was discipled by many people and I'm still being discipled. Maybe you want to take that step of faith today and say, yes, I want to turn from my old life. I want to turn from my selfish life and I want to place Jesus as the Lord of my life. I want to turn from my sinful ways and follow Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer where you can surrender your life to Jesus today. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if you want to pray and surrender your life to Jesus today with me. In just a moment, I just want you to raise your hand and I'll pray with you today. I see that over here, that's great. I see that up the back, that's great. Who else is there that says, yes, I want to surrender to Jesus. Today's the day for me. I see that as well, that's wonderful. Who else wants to come to Jesus and have their sins forgiven? Turn from their old life and start following Jesus. If that's you, just put your hand up real high. We've got a few hands over here already. If you haven't put your hand up yet, just put it up real high so I can see it. And we can pray for you to surrender to Jesus today. All right, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Let's stand to our feet and give these guys a hand. God bless you if you prayed that prayer today. And I'm going to invite Pastor Chris to come over here with Ahmed.